Hi, Bitch listeners. Welcome back to another episode of Bitch Radio. I'm Sherston Johnson, the web content manager at Bitch Media. Last week, you heard me talk with feminist programmer and activist Valerie Arora in part one of talking about women in the open source community. This week, it's part two, and I'm speaking with Sumana Hari Hareshwara, who currently works at the Wikimedia Foundation. I interviewed her in the lobby of a church. We talked about Wikimedia's initiatives to break down access barriers, be they gender, language, or usability, advice for editing your first Wikipedia entry, and some lessons about social justice that go beyond the software world.
So my name is Sumana Harihareshwara, and I am the Volunteer Development Coordinator for the Wikimedia Foundation, which is the nonprofit that supports Wikipedia and other free knowledge and free culture projects. Wikipedia and all the other Wikimedia projects run on software called MediaWiki. And MediaWiki is open source, which means anyone can suggest a contribution to it. My job is to help coordinate that software development from people who do not work at the foundation itself. So there are individuals, there are students, there are people at various companies and nonprofits who have installed MediaWiki and who have suggestions on how to make it better, to add features or fix problems. So I help coordinate that. I encourage people to contribute if they've never contributed before, and if they have already contributed, then I help make sure that their contribution experience goes well and that their code gets the review that it needs and so on.
Okay, so I was wondering, first of all, what changes you've seen at Wikimedia since the New York Times article in February that came out about the lack of women contributors on Wikipedia?
I have only been working full-time at the Wikimedia Foundation since mid-May. So the entire time that I've been at the foundation, we've already known about this issue and have been working to address it in various ways. So every month in our metrics meeting, we have a monthly statistics meeting about how we're doing on various fronts, and every department presents. And the gender issue is one that consistently comes up because we are aware this is one of our priorities. We have a strategic priorities document about what we want to achieve in the next 5 years, and it includes a goal of increasing the number of women contributing to Wikimedia by editing to a certain percentage. And I feel kind of dumb that I can't remember it off the top of my head, but we are aiming to significantly increase the number of female contributors to Wikipedia and other Wikimedia projects. And we are taking steps towards that with, there's a mailing list right now, I believe it's called Gender Gap, where anyone from the community and from the foundation can contribute, and it's a lively mailing list with a lot of conversation and ideas. And we're taking technical steps to make sure it's easier for everyone to edit, like the usability initiatives and the minus one to 100 initiative, which aims to vastly increase the number of people who go from not even realizing they can edit to making, let's say, about 100 edits. That's sort of a funnel, you know, going from not even realizing you can edit to realizing it but thinking you can't, but for other reasons, to realizing, oh, actually I can't edit, to actually making that step and maybe making your first edit, to becoming comfortable with the process and having it become a habit that you do while reading. So we're trying to increase, to use a sort of technical sounding term, throughput on all of those parts of the process. And although there are issues, in my opinion, of sexism in various Wikimedia communities, such as, for example, English Wikipedia, which is the best known of them, there are also really big issues that are not about malicious or ignorant sexism of people so much as it is about the difficulty of certain tools. For example, in order to edit right now any of the Wikimedia sites, one needs to be able to use our markup language, WikiText. And that's quite a barrier for any kind of novice, including people whom we want to reach out to, such as women, people with differing levels of education and English knowledge, people who have accessibility issues or issues on mobile devices. And so we are engaged in a large technical project right now to make it possible to edit more intuitively in what we call the visual editor project. And all of our usability work is aimed on making things easier to use, and this will help everyone, including people like, so often, women who have not had the technical background to learn a particular level of skill with computer usage and with web editing. Of course, we do have women among our contributors. I myself edit Wikipedia, and I'm a woman. But if you make things easier, then more people can edit. And we do believe this will have a significant impact on the proportion of women contributing. Oh, and of course, I have to say that I am speaking from my perspective as one person at the foundation. And I don't think of myself as an official spokesperson for the foundation. I can just speak from my own experience and from my own view of what we're doing. And all of the stuff that I'm talking about is publicly available in our strategy documents on the web, in our priority documents, and in our executive director's reports to the community and so on. Because we try to be a really very transparent and open organization in keeping with the Wiki model.
So besides women editing and contributing, are there other major social justice issues at Wikimedia and in open source communities?
Oh, certainly. I mean, the biggest one that comes to mind is internationalization and localization. Hold on a second. I am holding up my hoodie that I was given after I'd spent a little bit of time at the Wikimedia Foundation, and it has the word Wikipedia in dozens of languages because we care about, and this is where I get out something else. It's on my business card, and I feel very emotional and sentimental actually about these business cards because they represent that I am now a strong part of something that I care a lot about. The Wikimedia Foundation. Imagine a world in which every single human being can freely share in the sum of all knowledge. That's our commitment. And that's not just about middle upper class white males living in urban areas of the United States. That's about everyone. That's about people who look like you and me. That's about people with any level of education, in knowing any language, being able to speak it or write it or read it. It's about empowering people wherever they are with the knowledge that they can use to enrich their lives. And to that end, in the next few years, we're making huge inroads in India and Brazil, launching efforts to make our content way better in lots of individual local languages. Hundreds of languages have their own Wikipedias. Not to mention Wikisource, Wikinews, Wikiversity, Wikibooks, and other free knowledge projects. And that's a huge social justice goal, I think. And one that, of course, it's not just the foundation doing it, it's the movement, right? It's the movement that has set these priorities and is acting in part through the foundation, with the foundation as, you know, a financial arm. We also have, 30, 40 Wikimedia chapters in lots of local places. There's Wikimedia India, Wikimedia UK, and all these chapters are mostly volunteer organizations, I believe, working on the ground in these places to reach out to individual communities, you know, in ways that the people there are more suited to, right? The people in Wikimedia India know more of the local Indian languages. We are also, as the foundation, doing things to aid them programmatically through grants or any kind of institutional help that would make sense. You know, we don't want to take over things, we want to empower. But we also have technical things we can do, like we are right now hiring multiple people to make MediaWiki, the software that I help work on, better in lots of individual languages. Like Indic languages. Some of them have specific challenges when it comes to making that content look and feel right and be the most useful to the people who read those languages. Or right to left languages have some specific needs, you know, that people who only ever read and write left to right languages might not think of. There's a lot of stuff that we're doing in terms of getting people information in their own language. Additionally, we're improving how we work on mobile devices As you are probably aware, a lot of people in the developing world, that's the way they access the internet, if they get to access at all, is on a small mobile device. And often websites that were originally built to read on desktops and big screens don't work as well on phones. So we have just launched a new mobile gateway that people can test and look at, and that we're improving on that front. On a huge scale, we have social justice stuff happening there, because we want information to be accessible by everybody. And now, in addition to that, there's stuff that some audiences might immediately think of when they think about social justice, like improving the voice that people get when they have been traditionally marginalized, especially in the US, due to issues of race, class, gender, sexual orientation, and so on. And, you know, the first thing that we do is we're setting up a platform where everyone can speak, right? It's really quite, at the heart of it, technologically, a meritocratic system. Anyone can speak. Anyone can suggest, I know this fact, and then contribute it to the world. And then when it comes to systematic issues that even within our communities get people, you possibly perpetuate some of the same systematic isms and chiriarchy that you see in the outside world, right, sometimes replicated in our communities, the foundation itself and the community as a whole, there are people acting to combat that and creating initiatives to combat that. There are, for example, these things called wiki projects, which are people coming together towards some specific goal of improving content on, let's say, English Wikipedia relating to a particular project. So there's Wiki Project Physics, where physicists get together and they have some loose coordination around some specific articles they really aim to make better quality or something like that. Well, there's Wiki Project Women's History, where people who care about women's history, usually feminists of any gender, are aiming to improve the quality of the information that you can get about feminism and women's history on, I believe in this case, English Wikipedia. And I do specifically, I'm saying over and over again, English Wikipedia, because I want people to remember that there are hundreds of other projects. There's projects I do not know about happening on, let's say, Portuguese Wiki News to make sure that the news that people who read and write Portuguese can get via this kind of free service is of a quality and a diversity that we would hope. And it's a movement of innumerable people, and the foundation neither tries nor wants to have a hand in all of it, because this is the movement of the community. We just aim to empower.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could talk more about how open source communities and organizations can replicate the hierarchy.
I feel as though I perhaps am failing as a geek feminist, because I should have a really glib answer instead of finding myself thinking really hard about a bunch of different stuff. It is because I know how much potential technology has to shape our world that I know it is essential that the people who shape that technology represent that world, represent the best that world has to offer. I have experienced what it feels like in stories and in code to have my existence, I would not say erased, although some people have had that experience, but I have experienced what it is to have the possibility of my existence not forethought. When I show up, then I must be shoehorned in. I am giving this interview right now in a church, and I believe in the Bible there's this quote that of welcoming and hospitality, that in my Father's house there are many mansions, there are many rooms, and the place has been set aside for you. When you have an attitude of hospitality and accessibility in the way that you do things, if the default is open rather than closed, is welcoming rather than intimidating, it makes a different world, and it makes the world that I want to live in. And I'm speaking on two levels now. I'm speaking about code itself. I'm speaking about technologies that assume a variety and diversity of people who might interact with it and therefore benefit from that. And I'm also speaking about the layer of the people who create that technology. When I've been in communities that by default were open and accepting and enthusiastic about receiving diverse perspectives, the end product was more alive, was more likely to be able to be used in many ways and many purposes. And I enjoyed working on it more, and then people enjoyed interacting with it more. Everyone who cares about open source software knows innately that instead of individual hoarding, it is in our union and our communion that great things can be made. And there is a human joy of sharing in that. And if feminism, as is said, is the belief that women are people, then for any subset of that, women, for any awesome thing that people can do, well, women can do that too. I don't want the technological communities that I'm a part of to lack half the awesomeness that they could have by being sexist and excluding women. I mean, there's probably 8 other answers I could give, but have I at least begun to address the contours of your question?
Yes.
Okay, good. But you wanted to know also the an earlier question of how is it that open source communities sometimes replicate the hierarchy?
So this is the point in the interview where I tried to pass the buck and have Sumana define the term hierarchy so I wouldn't have to.
Oh, crap. I was hoping that, because I'm talking to Bitch Magazine readers, that like they would just know.
But hierarchy is a term coined by feminist theorist Elizabeth Schussler Fiorenza. It addresses multiple and intersecting oppressions, for example, racism, cissexism, classism, ableism. Basically, it takes the sexism addressed by the term patriarchy to the next level.
You've reminded me of 2 funny things. One is there's a web cartoon by an artist who goes by Hyperbole and a Half. And at one point, she's talking about what it is to be an adult. And one of them is the moment you're failing to be an adult is when you look around at a dirty house and you're like, clean all the things? And I have some friends who sometimes say, fight all the oppressions. Because it looks really like you kind of got to pick a few, I think, to really concentrate on. Although, you know, you try your best not to actively engage in most of them. But another thing I'm reminded is last year, after my Open Source Bridge talk, which was partly about how to get more open source contributions at for-profit companies, I got a question from the audience from someone who basically said, and I'm simplifying radically, well, I was able to get more openness and transparency at my company so that they were contributing to an open source project or their project that they ran was getting more contributions from the community, but I was able to do it only with some closed source software that I employed, which is not so great, right?
So what is that?
Oh, that means that, so open source means that anyone can modify the code. Closed source means that no one else other than the people who basically sold it to you could modify it, and therefore you are disempowered, and you are under someone else's control. And as Mr. Rogers once said, I am against the idea of anyone being programmed by anybody else. So on the whole, in the open source movement, we try to be using tools that anyone can modify that empowers us on a pragmatic level and on an ideological level. But sometimes one has to be pragmatic about the fact that if you are aiming to get some goal done, then in the short term, the answer might be to use a method that you might not be so happy with doing in the long term, and just keep that tension in your mind and try to resolve it later. And the way that I started off my answer was, we're all complicit in so much bullshit. I'm just reminded of that when I think about how all of us, including the most well-meaning of us and those of us who do a lot of work for social justice, are often complicit in a lot of bullshit. And you just have to try to be aware of it and try to make a note to kind of pay for your carbon credits at some point, you know? Open source communities are communities, and they are communities of the people in them. And so therefore, the people in them will bring their oppressions, will bring their prejudices. So that's just a start, that open source communities are not starting off full of diverse people of diverse backgrounds and experiences And then there's the fact that the open source movement, especially in the United States and Western Europe, which is where I've spent most of my open source related time, is mostly white guys, especially fairly privileged white guys who can make a living easily enough because they have a skill that capitalism likes. And so you have that layer of blindness and privilege. And there are some values that the open source community cares about a lot, which are good and have good effects, but also have some negative side effects, especially when practiced by people unconscious of their own privilege. For example, we value honesty and truthfulness the way that engineers and scientists value honesty and truthfulness, because it is a sin to mess with data. And we value meritocracy. Anyone should be able to contribute and be judged by their accomplishments. And secondarily, by how well they get along with others, perhaps. But even then, we have rather a tolerance for people who are unpleasant to get along with, but contribute a great deal of code. These are just two examples of some of our norms. And I think it's fairly obvious that these are generally good things, truthfulness, meritocracy, but when practiced by people unaware of their own privileges, race privilege, class privilege, male privilege, and so on, you run into situations like a person practicing a kind of bluntness and insensitivity and misreading it to themselves as honesty. You see honesty unleavened by sensitivity, compassion, or mentorship. Because I think Open Source Bridge is a much more welcoming community and a community where people value things like conference organizing, like contributions of making tools that other people find useful, and so on, in a way that overlaps more with valuing the kinds of contributions that traditionally come from, for example, women.
Who do you see, either individuals or groups? I know there's Geek Feminism, there are the wiki projects you spoke about, who are currently calling for change within the open source world.
I'm happy to report there are now so many people and organizations working on the cause of women in open source and open culture that I cannot name them all. And one of them is the fabulous Valerie Aurora, whom you just spoke with. She and Mary Gardner started the Ada Initiative, which I am proud to say I'm an advisory member of, and we are ramping up now on some initiatives to not just make life better for open technology and gender balance there, but to think of it scalably so we won't be the only ones doing it. Geeks think about how to scale up. Mm-hmm. Because in computer land, if you can figure out how to make a computer do something once, that's great. If you can make it do it twice, then you may as well just make it be able to do it a zillion times, because it's just basically the computer hitting its own, yeah, do that again button. So there's the Geek Feminism blog and the Geek Feminism wiki, which are useful repositories of knowledge and best practices and venting. There are the Anita Borg Institute is for women in technology in general, and they host a conference called the Grace Hopper Conference. And there's an email list called Sisters, S-Y-S-T-E-R-S, that I'm a part of that's been fantastic. Those are more for women in tech in general, but are very open source friendly. So for example, the Sisters group has software that they maintain, that they do some work on that's open source. Yeah, there's Valerie Aurora, there's Kirli Robert, there's Rachel Chalmers, all the people on the advisory board of the Ada Initiative. There's Noreen Plunkett, Mel Chua, who is a friend of mine who does community outreach and community engineering at Red Hat, which is the makers of a couple of major Linux distributions. So anyway, there's a lot of people, and they're doing lots of different kinds of things. So for example, GNOME, which is an open source project having to do with desktop environments, like the kinds of Windows and apps that a lot of people using open source software might see. They have a women's outreach project where they recruit women who perhaps have never been involved in any tech or open source before and get them into the idea of contributing, and specifically to GNOME. And it could be in anything. It could be in, not anything, but any component of the GNOME project, which includes code, which includes documentation, accessibility, testing, graphic design, marketing, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And the more perspectives and people we have doing it, great. And this includes on the GNOME project and lots of other open source projects, sometimes getting volunteers is great. And also by ramping them up in a volunteer space, you can help them get the skills on resumes that they need to be hired to work in open source part or full time, which also enriches our community because our ecology is a rich one that includes different kinds of payment structures. And the more sustainable it is to do open work, open culture or open source work for anybody, especially someone who's in a somewhat more marginalized position, you know, the more diverse our community will be.
And my last question is, what advice you would give to someone who is editing or thinking about editing Wikipedia for the first time?
If you have not yet decided what you're going to edit, but you know you kind of want to, look up your hometown on Wikipedia and see if there's something that you know that's not on there yet. Find a source for it, maybe in a newspaper or a book or some other fairly reliable source, and add that edit and mention the citation, because an edit with a citation means it's verifiable, and that means that it'll stick around longer. If you don't know, and that doesn't make sense for you because your hometown is a very well-documented town, pick up the most recent nonfiction book or magazine that you read and see if there's something in there that you think, huh, that ought to be on Wikipedia. And do the same thing, kind of look around for a relevant article and stick in a citation. Adding a citation, I think, might be an easy way to go in terms of it is much less likely that someone else will come along and immediately say, oh, that's stupid, it sucks, and have it be reverted or something like that. Because there is, unfortunately, some quantity of people who, as part of their anti-vandalism and anti-spam efforts, if they see some piece of information go in that needs a citation, then they will revert it and then message you and say, hey, you need to add a citation on that. So you can just skip that step by just having a citation in the first place. But another thing I would say is be bold and know that because Wikipedia is about individuals, because the Wikimedia projects are about individuals, you have as much right to be there as any jerk who you might run into. And if you make useful edits and contribute, you will gain reputation and you will have made the world a better place.
Thanks again for tuning in. You can visit Sumana's website at hariharesware.net and access this and more links by finding our interview at bitchmedia.org/audio. You can download other audio segments at bitchmedia.org/audio or by searching for Bitch Radio on iTunes. And feel free to email radio@b-word.org with any feedback. I'm Sherston Johnson, and thanks again for listening.